This podcast is a Majestic Giraffe production. For more information and more content, visit majesticgiraffe.com.
But I was going into Toshi Station to pick up some power converters.
Droids are clean, the vaporizers are patched, and the speeders fuel. It's time to pick up some blue milk and power converters. You're listening to Toshi Station Radio, brought to you by the Majestic Giraffe Network. Now here are your hosts for the Snarkiest Podcast in Star Wars and Geek Culture, Brian and Nancy.
From the outskirts of Anchorhead and on the shores of the Great Chod Flats, you're listening to Toshi Station Radio, the bright center in the universe for all things Star Wars and geek culture. I'm your host, Brian, and with me, as always, is my co-host and fiancé, Nancy.
Hello!
On today's episode, we're getting into the holiday spirit and discussing our most hated characters. So, we're doing our best Grinch impersonation today. We're about to get started, so sit back, grab some power converters, and enjoy the show. Sorry for no show last week. We were busy abusing our livers while recording a live commentary episode of the Star Wars Holiday Special. Look for that release on Christmas.
Yay! Nothing says Christmas spirit like the Star Wars Holiday Special.
Grab your eggnog. Grab your bootleg copy of the holiday special.
And grab a lot of eggnog.
And enjoy along with us.
Enjoy is a liberal word.
Aw. Are you saying you didn't enjoy that, Nancy?
No, I did not. Not at all. There was not one redeeming quality to the Star Wars holiday special.
There was Bea Arthur.
That's not a redeeming quality.
But Bea Arthur.
She was the best thing in a terrible, terrible thing.
So we're setting the bar really low here.
Yes.
Okay. Toshi Station Radio is brought to you in part by Audible.com. Listeners of this podcast can get a free audiobook by signing up for a free trial. Click the link at Toshi-Station.net for more details.
And we're also brought to you in part by Her Universe. Flaunt your world with Star Wars, Star Trek, Battlestar Galactica, Doctor Who, and other fandom-inspired wardrobe and jewelry. Click the link on our blog to purchase awesome geek gear and keep the lights running on the podcast.
And now it's time for What's New on the Blog, where we highlight the written content you may have missed since the last time we all got together.
There's a new comic review today, or released today, Legacy number 10, and Bria had a review out on the blog today. And there's been two Hondo Caravan installments since we last spoke on the podcast. The first one was entitled Not the Children, and the second one was entitled And Now, Barriss. And we can figure out that she was really, really excited for the last set of episodes, because Bria kind of loves Barriss Ophi.
Yeah, she was excited. I was looking forward to Bria getting to this point.
I would also like to take this moment to issue a disclaimer to our friends following Bria along the Hondo Caravan, and that is that this is Bria's first time watching the Clone Wars. So, shut up. And that is all. I've been shushing everyone on Twitter. They're like, I'm not saying anything. I'm like, I'm just being preemptive. Thank you.
Because if you want the maximum Bria reaction.
Yes. And finally, we announced the winner of our Razor's Edge giveaway. Congratulations to Kelly. And we'll be mailing that package out to her once everyone gets out of the post office.
Yes, we apologize. We've had a hard time getting to the post office for obvious reasons.
Well, even if we could go to the post office, I don't know that we would want to. But we will definitely mail that out before the end of the year.
Yeah, congratulations, and enjoy the book when you get it.
Yes, we should do more giveaways.
We should, because we do have a lot of lovely promotional material provided to us by the good folks at Random House.
Maybe we should do another one when we get to 1,200 Twitter followers.
1,200? What? there's got to be another more thematic, completely arbitrary point we could use.
1977. But that's a long ways away.
Yeah, that's a long ways out. Unless you tell your friends to follow us.
Yes.
Follow us on Twitter. We give away stuff.
And listen to the podcast. Also, last time on the podcast, we discussed our favorite holiday entertainment. And I realized I left something off.
Oh no, what did we leave off?
Something that's very important. The Seinfeld Festivus episode.
It's a Festivus for the rest of us.
I felt very ashamed with myself when I realized I had forgotten to put that on a list. So as a official Festivus airing of grievances, I will air the grievance toward myself for forgetting that.
Any other grievances you want to get out there? Or are we going to save that for Cammy's concerns today?
I think we should save that for Cammy's concerns.
Fantastic. And with that, we move into Fixer's Flash, the geeky things we've been up to in the last week or so. You know, I can't wait to get the soundboard up and running. We were kicking around the idea of getting a soundboard for this podcast, and we know how we're going to attack it.
Yes.
We're going to have little bumpers and things
for
segments.
We're going to have bumpers. We can do that.
It only took us 2 years.
Hey, you know, oh crap, have we been doing this for 2 years? Oh my god.
We have.
Oh my god.
Oh, we're coming up to the 2-year anniversary.
Wow. Okay. Now I feel old. I guess we need to keep doing the podcast and not
Can't
just
stop now.
Okay.
Oh, and happy 2 years until the next Star Wars Day.
Yes, that's later on, Brian.
Oh, that's later on?
Yeah, if you had read the show notes,
I
you would have known.
I'm
well,
sorry.
So was I. So you can't use that excuse.
I know. Okay, what have you been up to, Nancy?
Well, if you had read the show notes, you would have noticed that I decided I made an executive decision to combine Fixer Slash into just what we have done. Because
they're the identical now.
Yes, pretty much. Except for reading. So we went to Disney for our holiday festivities, and I think the highlight of our visit was seeing the taping of the holiday parade in which Darth Vader had taken control of Santa's sleigh.
Where's Santa? What happened to Santa?
Do you really want to know?
Oh, no.
Vader found his lack of faith disturbing.
Oh, no.
So, yeah.
So, apparently, the holiday spirit and faith in the Force are not one and the same?
Probably not, no.
Oh, dear.
Maybe Santa saw a holiday special.
That picture got retweeted so many times.
It really did. So, you can watch the Disney parade on Christmas Day and see Darth Vader.
It'll probably be a lot more magical than what we saw, which was the parade being taped in about 3 billion...
Stages. Yeah, waves. and because it's Christmas, we've been watching holiday movies. What did we watch this week, Brian?
This week, we saw Christmas Vacation. Is that not one of the most quotable films ever?
It really is. It's hilarious.
But why is the carpet wet? Todd.
Why is the carpet all wet, Todd? I don't know, Margot. Yeah, that's a great movie.
I love that movie.
I do too.
And because this is a PG-13 show, we will not recite the rant from memory.
No. That movie also has one of the best uses of an F-bomb allowed in a PG-13 movie.
Agreed.
Yes.
I mean, almost as good as Johanna Mason's F-bomb. Almost as good as Wolverine's.
Well, Joanna Mason's doesn't count because that was bleeped
True.
Out.
True. Creative bleep out.
Yes. But, we'll have the happiest Christmas since Bing Crosby tap dance with Danny F. and K. I love that part.
Oh, so good. We watched half of Love Actually.
We did. We should probably watch the second half. Or just watch the whole thing because we were watching it on TV, so it was
they
edited.
Really... get to commercials in awkward places.
Yeah, they do.
That's unfortunate.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, as mentioned, We watched the holiday special.
Whose idea was that?
It was your friend's. I agreed.
Oh, you agreed.
I agreed, yes.
So I'm blaming you.
But it was Allie's idea.
But you said yes, and you are the person who says yes for this podcast. So it's your fault.
You could have stopped it, you know? Yeah, we didn't have to.
Really?
Okay. Look for our special holiday episode next week. It's live commentary of the holiday special, and it's even more fun if you find a copy yourself and watch along with us.
You have an odd definition of fun. But also, be aware that the commentary episode is rated R.
Yes, this will be the first and only not safe for work episode of Tashi Station Radio.
It is very not safe for work. There was alcohol consumed and there was a lot of cursing.
Yeah, we needed rum to get through that episode.
Yes.
Why is the rum gone?
Because you drank it all.
Oh. yeah, so the holiday special, look for our commentary episode next week, and, you know, I think we might do some future commentary episodes of things.
Yes, but of good things.
Yes, of good things.
I would like to do...
Or at least things that aren't as terrible as that, but we can mock without hating ourselves.
Yes. See, it was even hard to mock the holiday special. Like, it was just boring and bad. I was not...
And I like variety shows.
But what the hell does a variety show have in common with Star Wars? Nothing.
Well, we need an excuse to get Wookiee porn in there somehow.
I was trying to forget about that.
That's why we had the alcohol for the recording.
Yes.
Oh, dear. Yes, the holiday special live commentary. Grab your eggnog and your bootleg copy and enjoy it next week as it hits the iTunes feed.
Yep. We also participated in Geek Trivia last night, and it was lots of fun. One of the categories was the Star Wars Holiday Special, and unfortunately, it was in a question I would have known the answer to before seeing the Holiday Special. And the final question we wiped out on because it was about Doctor Who Christmas specials, and...
We got one wrong.
Yeah,
of the parts wrong.
Yeah, if you get one of the parts wrong, you get all of it wrong, and I was useless for that part.
I was hoping that the final question was going to be some obscure minutia from the holiday special. We could have knocked that out of the park.
I don't know. We might have forgotten about it.
What beloved character made their debut in the holiday special?
But I think that's not obscure, though. That's pretty well-known.
True.
If you had to name Chewie's family members...
That would have been obscure. What expanded universe character was inspired by the Wookiee porn scene?
Oh, God. Kweezush, or Zux, or however you say her name. The bird lady.
That's true, by the way. Yep. That is true.
Yep. Kevin J. Anderson said so. Dragon Con.
It indeed. you got one thing that I didn't participate in.
Yes, because it's reading, and we can't read at the same time.
Well, we could, but it'd be a little awkward.
Yeah. I've been reading Through the Jupiter Pirates by Jason Fry, and we'll have a review up next week. The book comes out Monday, the 23rd, so there'll be a review on the blog. Probably a shorter review, maybe a go-no-go, but, so far, it's definitely a go. So, spoilers. I like it.
Okay, you've got a little bit more of a pitch, though, that you can give,
it's like,
that you can toss at us.
Well, it's set several hundred years in the future, so it's sci-fi, but the political climate is very much like the political climate that existed during the American Revolution in regards to, letters of marque and the Jovian Union has seceded from Earth, and, you know, they issue letters of marque to different starships, and this starship has been in this family for, you know, generations, and they work as privateers, and they seize cargo that is allied with Earth, and it's really neat. It's a really neat idea, and I really like that the captain of the ship is the mother. and the father is the first mate. And also, I can't remember if they specifically said if they're married or not. But they have different last names, which I think is really kind of neat. And the kids have the mother's last name.
So are you saying this is progressive science fiction?
It is progressive science fiction.
I love it. Sold. Yeah.
Yes.
So, yeah, it sounds like you're enjoying this.
I am. I will probably finish it pretty quickly. It's a short book. And, yeah, I really like reading kids' books because they're short and fun and just fun stories.
Indeed. So look for that review next week. And with that, it's time for Deke's Dirt. News and rumors from around fandom.
We have a very interesting headline for the first entry.
That is something I never thought in a thousand years I would write as a headline on the blog.
The Rapping Llama confirms that Rebels will air on Saturday mornings.
Rapping Llama.
And what?
A Rapping Llama.
What is the Rapping Llama?
I don't know, but it was a llama that was on a screen. It was talking about cartoons, and it was rapping, and I was confused and somewhat
frightened.
Is
it some sort of Cartoon Network or Disney XD promotional thingy?
I don't know enough about Disney XD promotions to say otherwise. All I know is I was scared.
Okay. Well, Saturday mornings...
So, kind of a return to the old Clone Wars time slot.
Well, Clone Wars started at Friday nights.
Well, not the original Clone Wars time slot, but the Saturday
slot. I wish
it
went to the old Clone Wars time slot, because I liked that a lot more than Saturday mornings. Because
I like sleep.
Yeah, I know a lot of people disagree with me, because they're like, it's Saturday morning cartoons, but then record it and watch it on Saturday morning.
If it airs on Friday, we can have our cake and eat it, too.
Exactly.
But, oh well, I'm excited for it. The more I hear about it, the more I'm intrigued.
Yep.
And, in perhaps sad news, the new Essential Guide to Characters looks like it's been canceled.
Yeah, I think date in the catalog has been, like, moved back or...
To 2035.
Yeah.
Which is probably just some trick to keep the database clean.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's a lot of conspiracy theories out there, and a lot of people are upset because they think this, you know, has some clues into what's going to happen to the EU going forward. But I don't really think there's much debate about that the EU is not going to be the way it was going forward. And I kind of think releasing an essential guide to characters before a new movie comes out is kind
because
of
doesn't
silly.
The essential guide to characters include film characters? So you might want to, include those characters.
Well, it was kind of like when they released the essential chronology. But it was like, okay, you're going to have to change this because new books keep coming out all the time and everything. And it's the same with all of those guides, you know. They're interesting, but they always end up becoming obsolete. So, yeah, it's not shocking that this looks like it's not going to go on moving forward. But as always, we'll... have news when we have news, which we don't really have anything, so.
Yeah, well, when there's news, we'll report it and bring it to you, but until then, we just have rampant speculation.
Uh-huh. And the next entry is more relevant to your interests, I think.
And actual news.
Yes.
The official Star Wars page announced a new online video game, Star Wars Attack Squadrons. It's a online multiplayer space combat simulator. And looking through, there was a bit of pre-rendered footage, no gameplay or anything, but I couldn't help but think, hey, is this the long-awaited X-Wing versus TIE Fighter reboot? And if so, hooray! I'm for it. I signed up for the beta. Hopefully I get in, and if I do, it means I may have to go buy a joystick.
Yeah, I'll probably skip out on that because, you know, me and video games.
You're waiting to learn to play more of them?
No, I don't get along with them very well.
Aww. But yes, Star Wars Attack Squadrons, link in the show notes, go check that out. It looks neat.
Yes.
And we are now, as of this recording, 2 years away from Episode 7's release date.
Yay!
Yay! 2 years! 2 more years of speculation!
Yay!
Oh. So, Nancy, what do we know about Episode 7 at this point?
Well, we know that J.J. Abrams is directing the movie. We know that John Williams is scoring the movie. We know that Michael Arndt was involved in writing the movie for a time, and now Lawrence Kasdan and J.J. Abrams are the credited screenwriters currently. We know that R2-D2 will be in the movie.
That R2 will be fan-made.
Yes, that's actually really cool. We know that it will be filmed in Pinewood Studios, correct? That's right.
Correct.
And we know that... I think we know some other crew members, but that's pretty much all we know right now.
Anything else is speculation.
Yes. There was some talk at a recent Variety event. Alan Horn mentioned that Disney expects to get an Episode 7 script in January.
Which makes sense, given there'd be a little less than 2 years out, and that puts them right along the production path they need to be on.
Yeah, they're supposed to start filming, I think, in February, I believe. So, and, they'll probably get a script, and then maybe we'll get some news after
that. If they start filming in February, we're probably going to start hearing some cast announcements soon.
Either announcements or leaks.
Yeah.
So hopefully we'll start getting some news soon. Really, I'm just really eager to hear the time frame, if the big three are going to be in it, or at least Luke. Because I think knowing that will give us a better idea of what we can expect in regards to the expanded universe plot lines. And I'm hoping that once there's some sort of direction on where the movie's going to go, that Del Rey will be able to say, okay, we're going to either end the EU where it was and go ahead with the Episode 7 plotline, or we're going to spin off a multiverse. So, or maybe we'll just never have any news on that, whatever, and Ben Skywalker will just be something that we once thought existed.
Yeah, and bring on your expanded universe conspiracy theories. We'll find out eventually.
They're going to come into our houses in the middle of the night and steal our books and burn them down. And I'll wake up one morning and go, didn't there used to be someone named Mara Jade? I think I named my dog after that character.
This has the makings of a great book.
Oh, dear.
I would read that book.
Oh, and they also mentioned Indiana Jones at that Variety event. Alan Horn was asked about, you know, would there be an Indy 5? And his response was that basically they need a story first. So don't hold your breath for Indies anytime soon, but it's a possibility.
It's much more of a possibility than it was before.
Yeah. And in non-Star Wars news, there is a new trailer for Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, and I think it looks pretty awesome.
We were having a talk about this earlier, and I was surprised how much I liked Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, I was not expecting to like that movie that much at all. I've never really seen the original Planet of the Apes. I saw the Tim Burton remake and was one of the few people to actually like it. So that tells you my experience with Planet of the Apes. But I think I just went to see it because some friends were going to see it. And I really, really enjoyed it. I just thought it was clever and the story was paced well and the monkey was freaking, or I'm sorry, chimpanzee was freaking amazing. Was he a chimp? I don't know.
Gorilla?
Whatever Caesar was, he was amazing. And mo-capped by Andy Serkis.
Can we give Andy Serkis an Oscar just for that?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm excited. The trailer looked really nice, and somehow it missed me that Gary Oldman's in this.
Yeah, because why not?
Everything's better with Gary Oldman.
Of course.
So, yeah, I'm excited for that film. That's one summer movie that I'll be looking forward to. I wonder what other films are coming out next year. Now I'm curious. 2014 in film. I mean, there's obviously Captain America 2 that we'll all be going to see. Let's see. In January, there's a whole lot of nothing. I, Frankenstein. Oh, right. I, Frankenstein.
Oh, God. That horrible, horrible looking movie.
I mean, isn't a trailer supposed to sell you on a movie rather than completely repulse you and drive you away from it before it even hits theaters?
Well, every time we see that trailer, we're like, his name is not Frankenstein. Frankenstein was the doctor.
He's Frankenstein's monster.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Yeah.
And that just offended. That offended me.
Yeah.
Let's see. February, there's more nothing. The Lego movie. I have no idea.
Okay.
Oh, RoboCop.
Oh, yay. We saw that trailer too, and no.
Nope. another 300 film is in March.
Yay.
The Grand Budapest Hotel, which unfortunately is not the Black Widow backstory.
Aw, damn it.
Someday, come on, Marvel, help us out here. Oh, Veronica Mars. Veronica Mars, which is a show that Nancy's going to have to mainline.
Are you
going to
make me go see that?
Yes.
God.
Come on, watch the first two seasons with me.
I've told you my problem with Veronica Mars.
You thought it was a science fiction show.
I thought it was about a girl named Veronica who lived on Mars, and I was really disappointed when I found out it was just about a regular high school girl.
But she's an awesome detective.
I don't care. I wanted it to be about a girl on Mars. That is so much better.
Muppets Most Wanted is in March.
Oh.
April through June, we've got Captain America, The Winter Soldier. Wow, a sequel to Rio. Okay. Wow, this is going to be a dry year. The Amazing Spider-Man 2 in May.
They're just getting us ready for 2015.
Right. Why is everyone cramming their films into 2015? X-Men Days of Future Past in May.
Yes.
I think we're excited about that.
Yes.
A film I'm a little curious about, Maleficent.
Maybe.
A little bit of curiosity there.
Yeah.
The Fault in Our Stars is in June, the John Green novel adapted into a film.
Yay.
Yay. From July to September, we've got nothing. Guardians of the Galaxy. We've got in August. That's going to be fun. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. No. Did you know they were doing an adaptation of The Giver?
No.
And this is turning into really compelling podcasting right now. So, yeah, that's... there's more stuff. There's more stuff out in 2014 land, but... I'm hoping that it isn't as disappointing a film year as 2013 was.
Yeah, well, hopefully since there's not enough a lot to look forward to, we can't be disappointed.
Set the expectations low.
Yes.
Okay, it is time for Cammy's Concerns, and should we do backstory on this discussion topic? How did this happen?
Okay, the other day we were just sitting around watching TV. I think it was Sunday morning or Saturday morning, maybe. One of those days. And A League of Their Own was on TV, so I turned it on because I liked that movie. And I remarked about how much I hate Kit Keller, who is Lori Petty's character. And we both started talking about how much we can't stand her, and then we started talking about other characters we hate and decided that it would be a good episode podcast topic. And originally we were going to do a year in review, but I said that would be a better topic for the week of New Year's. And to get into the Christmas spirit, we should talk about characters we hate.
Happy holidays from Happy your friends holidays. At Tashi Station. And let's be clear here, this is not to be confused with characters we love to hate.
Yes, we've done an episode about our favorite villains before. And this is not our favorite villains. This is just characters we hate. Like, purely hate. They can be good or bad.
And we're going to use this as an opportunity to discuss, you know, writing character techniques.
Yes, and
things to avoid, things that...
And there are fact that, you know, there are characters that some people love and other people hate, and we have some disagreements in this list.
Send your hate mail to staff.tashistation@gmail.com.
Don't do that!
So, okay, we're going to start off with the character that kicked off this whole discussion we had. It was Kit Keller from A League of Their Own. Not exactly a science fiction film, not the geekiest film out there, but a good starting point.
Yeah, Kit. She has no reason to be as jealous and have as much of a chip on her shoulder as she does. She's a younger sister. She's jealous of her big sister because she's taller and prettier and better at baseball and whatever. Everyone loves her and she's married, blah, blah, blah. But I can understand if her parents were awful to her too, but they weren't. They're just, you know, parents. And then other people might not really be nice to her, but Dottie is always nice to her and always treats her with respect. So it just always bothered me how much of a jerk she is and that she ends up winning the World Series and
the scene
having
that,
all the glory.
The scene that pissed me off the most and is the reason I can't stand Kit Keller as a character was the scene where Jimmy Dugan comes out and pulls Kit from the game.
Yeah.
In which Jimmy Dugan turns to Gina Davis's character and says, "Is she gassed?" And she says, "Yes."
Mm-hmm.
It's the catcher's responsibility to tell that to the manager.
Yeah.
So getting mad at your sister over that, come on. Kit Keller is such a petty, petty, immature character. And I hate her for it. Which, let's head into more of the surreal realm. Harry Potter, there is a character there both you and I just cannot stand.
yes.
And this is going to, brace yourselves, this is going to get us some hate.
That's okay, because we hate Snape. Severus Snape. Don't like him, never liked him, think he's an awful human being. I actually had a discussion with a friend of mine today because she likes that he's complicated and that, you know, he has reasons for being the way he is and, you know, that he actually was putting his life in danger all the time by being a double agent. And I said, and she's like, and she said that he kind of had to be awful to Harry. And I was like, no, he did not have to be awful to Harry. He could have just been indifferent. Because what would Voldemort have known about what was going on at Hogwarts? Second of all, in the first book, Quirrell is trying to jinx Harry. And Snape saves him. And at least in the movie, I know Quirrell mentions that at the end confrontation, that Snape was intervening. So, at least in the movie universe, Voldemort knew that, you know, Snape had tried to help him out at one point. So, I don't think that's a good defense.
The problem with Snape's character is he does the right things for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
And because he's doing things for all the wrong reasons, even when he's doing the right thing, he is being such a terrible human being.
Yeah. I just... Yeah, and like, there's so many points when he just acts like a petulant child, like in the book 5 with the Pensieve, when Harry sees Snape's memory and Snape just blows up and tells him to get out, and it's like Dumbledore was the one telling you to give Harry these lessons, so what the hell, Snape?
And you know, this is the one truly big problem with the epilogue I have.
That Harry says he's the bravest he ever met.
No, he was a terrible human being, yeah. Harry. And you named your child after him. Come on. The one thing I wish J.K. Rowling had done was be a little more on the nose calling out that Snape was bad, was really a jerk.
Yeah.
Definitely. And I'm sorry, Snape fans, but he was the quintessential nice guy who feels like he's owed something for being nice. That's not cool.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else to add on Snape, Severus Snape?
Yeah, no.
Which brings us to Star Wars and our first entrant, Natasi Dalla.
I don't think we need to have much of an explanation here, do we?
I mean,
Dalla really has no redeeming qualities at all. Like, usually in Star Wars, the villains at least are kind of interesting.
She's boring.
And the fact is, if she was just a one-off, then okay, we could have forgotten about her. But of all the characters to bring back after how many years... And put in charge of the freaking Galactic Alliance, you pick Natasi Dalla.
It would have been better if they just brought back Yasani Isard back from the dead again.
Right? Seriously. Yeah, we just... No.
I mean, she's boring. She was not... For the most part, she was not a convincing... foil or villain in Fate of the Jedi when she came back. It just didn't work.
No.
Which brings us to another Fate of the Jedi antagonist.
I don't think we need to say much about this one either. Abeloth. It was just a terrible, terrible concept. The sad thing is it could have been interesting.
It could have been really interesting, but the execution was...
Yeah, and they just went way overboard with... Or I should say, Troy Denning went way overboard with the tentacles and the starry eyes and the wide grin and just...
We get it. She's an eldritch abomination. We get it.
And then they had to make her... part of the Clone Wars.
See, I thought actually up until that point, she could have been saved as a villain.
Yeah.
But then when they did that Mortis tie-in and Apocalypse and went way too heavy with that, I just...
The problem was we didn't learn anything about Abeloth until the last book. And like, if you're doing a multi-book saga like that... You need to have more of a build-up.
Well,
like,
and that's really why I just can't stand Abeloth as a character. It's clear that they may have had an idea going into it, but in Apocalypse, they put on the brakes, went a different direction, tied into something they really shouldn't have tied into.
Yeah.
And it just made for... It was too overt with a wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Hey, you ever watch The Clone Wars? And... Abeloth was the poster child for being so heavily reliant on continuity nods.
Like, I don't think either of us really have a problem with continuity nods and, like, stories all going together. But there's a way to do it, and there's a way not to do it. Like, it was just so, like...
It felt like I was being bludgeoned over the head with a Clone Wars Blu-ray set. Well, because the problem was,
if you hadn't watched Clone Wars, you wouldn't have gotten it. So they had to explain it over and over. And
in excruciating detail.
Yeah, you compare it to a book like Mercy Kill, where they reference events that happened, you know, how many years, 10, 15 years ago, but they do it in a way that if you hadn't read them, it was subtle,
it was clever. Yeah,
it was explained enough, but not too much.
But Abeloth, in Apocalypse, it's, okay, here's a printout of Wikipedia.
Yeah, yeah, and, like, you can also point to Scoundrels, because you're supposed to, you know, come into that... You're supposed to be able to read that book without having read anything else. And there's a lot of continuity nods with... So, you know... But they explain it in the book. And that's, you know, if you don't know the whole story, it won't bog it down. You know, it's just like, oh, okay, something happened.
Yeah, but... and
same thing with Kenobi. Kenobi is a really good example that they discuss the Sharad Het and Sharad Het. And if you have, I have not read Outlander at all.
Neither have I.
I know.
And I didn't miss a beat there. I didn't feel like I was
I knew the
down.
Basic storyline because of, you know, other references and just knowing about, you know, the continuity. But I didn't know. It didn't bother me that I didn't know. Another one was that he used a character called Mosip Benid, who was apparently in one of the Marvel comics. And a lot of people loved that little continuity nod, and they were like...
Yeah, I didn't know that.
I had no idea who that was. It was just some random dude.
But I didn't miss anything. Yeah. I was not out in the cold because I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But the problem with Abeloth is she is the symbol of hitting an exposition wall.
Yeah. I'll even say I did not like the book Shadow Games... But I think Shadow Games did a good job with using a pre-existing character like Dash Rendar and not giving you all of his backstory, which helped because this book took place before Shadows of the Empire. But my problem with that book was not how they pulled in continuity, it was just the actual book itself.
Yeah, Abeloth, symbol of info dumping.
Yeah.
Which Definitely. Is why we don't like Abeloth.
Exactly.
And y'all know about this next character and our take on it.
We just don't like this character because there's no reason for him to be as popular as he is. And that would be Boba Fett.
Boba Fett is responsible for one of the greatest songs ever.
Yes. Fett's Vet.
Fett's Vet.
I would just like to point out that I was so disturbed after watching the holiday special that I listened to Fett's Vet really loud and was rapping to it.
Boba Fett, the character that originated from the Star Wars holiday special.
See? No good comes of the holiday special.
You know what else originated from the holiday special?
Wookiee porn.
And Quizzux.
Yes. Yes. But, yeah.
Boba Fett is in the same category as Qui.
I think we would have no problem with Boba Fett if he'd just been some dude in the background that was kind of cool. But
I think, it's really not the character itself. It's the evangelism around
Boba
the character
Fett,
from fandom.
Boba Fett is the perfect example of how Star Wars fans have to create an elaborate, huge backstory for everything and demand it. Like, we want more Boba Fett, so we're gonna have all these books with him and everything, and okay, I guess.
Yeah, it's just... And my problem is the insistence that, oh no, if you just read X, if you just watch X, you'll love Boba Fett. the evangelism doesn't work. No. I don't like Boba Fett, and I never will.
I love the fact that Sam Witwer... I'm sorry. Why am I talking about Darth Maul? Never mind. Because I was thinking about him later on. I was looking at that on the list. Spoilers.
Spoilers. But
yeah. I will say I really like the actors who play Boba Fett. Daniel Logan and Jeremy Bullock.
The people who've played them are lovely individuals.
Yeah, but I don't like Boba Fett. Although he is in my favorite installment of Star Tours.
He is.
the Geonosis.
The Geonosis. Section. Yeah.
But yeah, we've talked about ad nauseum about why we don't like Boba Fett, so I think we can move on to the next one, in which I will let you describe why you don't like this character.
Okay, I'm going to say this, and it's not because I'm a prequel hater. I actually have socio-political reasons for not liking this character. I hate Newt Gunray. I hate Newt Gunray. I hate that Newt Gunray is this horrible Asian stereotype. I know it wasn't intentional to be offensive with that, but it turned out it was. And I can't see Newt Gunray or anyone in that species without getting a little upset. And that makes me sad and angry.
Yeah. I just find them inept. Although, I will say that, him going, "She can't do that!" in Attack of the Clones makes me laugh.
Yes. There's one last Star Wars character on our list. I think we're definitely going to take flack for this one, though.
Yeah, Mace Windu.
You know, is it fair to say that Mace Windu is responsible for the Jedi Order falling?
Mace Windu is just a jerk. He's a jerk. A total, absolute jerk. And, like... he's just a jerk.
To antagonize Anakin Skywalker to the point where he destroys the entire Jedi Order. Nice going, buddy.
Well, from the beginning, he has it in for Anakin. He's not much better in Attack of the Clones. And then in Revenge of the Sith, it's basically like Anakin comes in, says, "Hey, guess what? Chancellor Palpatine's the Sith Lord we've been looking for." And Mace is like, "You have to stay here. If what you told me was true, you'd have earned my trust." And I'm like, excuse me, he's a fellow Jedi. You're supposed to have trust and respect for each other. That's how this thing works.
And earlier in the timeline, he was a total jerk to Ahsoka.
Yeah, seriously, they all were. But
that's why the Jedi Order fell. Mace Windu drove away anyone who could have prevented it.
Well, I never understand why he wouldn't just let Anakin go with them. Like, because Anakin would have seen exactly what was going to happen, what had happened, you know, and he wouldn't have been suckered into it.
You know, if I was Anakin, I'd be pissed, because yeah. It feels like I've been being strung along by these guys for entirely too long.
Yeah, and the whole time, you know, Anakin is just being irrational, except for this one point when he tells Mace Windu he needs to stand trial, blah blah blah. Like, if he had been there earlier and seen what Palpatine was actually doing to them, that he wasn't all, you know, faking it, because he was totally faking it. I'm on side faking it.
You know, Mace Windu is one of those guys where you wonder, do you hate this idea because I brought it up, or because you actually don't like the idea?
Yeah, exactly.
He's like that horrible boss we've all had at some point in time.
Yes.
Who now disagrees with everything you say just because you said it.
Yeah, I mean, I will say there are moments when Mace Windu does things when I cheer. The arena battle in Attack of the Clones is one of them. But he's just, I don't know why they make him such a jerk. I think it's just he is the embodiment of all the Jedi being jerks. They're all jerks.
And now let's look at the new Jedi Order. They've all gone to the Mace Windu school of jerkery.
I know, it's so sad.
Even Luke Skywalker's a jerk in the fashion of Mace Windu now, and it makes me angry and sad.
Yes.
But yes, Mace Windu, we're not fans.
No, we're not.
And out of Star Wars, and into the Whedonverse.
I'll probably take flack for this one too, but I really don't like Faith from Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
I like the concept of Faith as a character. I don't think I like Eliza Dushku though.
I just don't like the way she was played. I don't like the way she was written. There was so much potential there with her relationship with the mayor and like her relationship with Buffy, but I hate that whole cool female sexy girl vibe that so many characters try to use instead of just being a badass, you know?
You know, I think there's merit to starting off a character like that and then subverting things later. The problem is I don't think Eliza Dushku has any range other than that.
Yeah.
So they couldn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't hate her as much as you do, but I definitely see where you're coming from.
Yeah.
And another character from the Whedonverse. Oh, I hate Connor.
Yeah,
from Connor Angel. From I hate Angel. Connor
Angel's
so much.
Son, who gets magically sped up in age, is just really annoying. And, ugh. It doesn't help that he's from a horrible, awful plot line that I despise.
The entirety of season 4?
Yeah, where he boinks Cordelia and impregnates her with the Antichrist.
That was so incestuous.
Gina Torres.
The Antichrist was Gina Torres. Oh, I don't know about that casting.
Yeah, no.
Yeah,
no. That was after Firefly was canceled and he was giving all people roles. He put Nathan Fillion in Buffy.
That was a great role, though. He was great as that. That's a villain I love to hate.
Yeah.
Yeah, Connor, not a fan. No. And you've put down, I don't know necessarily if I agree with this still.
Everyone in Battlestar Galactica.
Come on, there had to be a couple characters you liked.
Yeah, but they were all such jerks.
What about Hilo? Did you hate Hilo?
He was just boring.
Oh, but it was Hilo. Come on, Hilo.
Adama was okay. Older Adama. Lee Adama was...
Lee was a whiny
Lee and Kara, I wanted them to get together and go off in awful people land. Sorry, people. You can send me hate mail. There were so many awful people in that show.
It was a show that did not show the good side of humanity very much.
No, which kind of stunk, because... That would have been nice to see.
I mean, they were all characters that all had great moments where you cheered for them, but they balance it out with moments where you just hate them.
And I mean, I like complicated characters and everything, but characters also have to be likable. You know, a character can be flawed and, you know, do bad things but still be likable. Like, for example, I haven't watched Breaking Bad, so I don't know if this example would apply to me or not, but I know a lot of people who do watch Breaking Bad and love Walter White, even though he's a terrible person, but because of that, you know, they find him interesting and compelling to watch. And that's fine, but you have to remember that ultimately people have to...
A little bit of sympathy can go a long way.
Yeah, yeah.
So, for you, everyone from Battlestar Galactica, everyone.
Probably not everyone, but it's really hard for me to pick just one out of there.
Yeah, I can't argue with you too much, because they are all terrible people, but I kind of like that they were terrible.
I mean, I like the show, don't get me wrong. It was just hard to get into because there wasn't a character that I really liked, and usually that's what pulls me into a show.
Yeah. And from Battlestar Galactica to the Marvel Universe, Scott Summers... There are a couple truisms in life. Water is wet.
Taxes.
You will be taxed. And Scott Summers is a jerk.
You had to explain to me why Scott
Summers. Scott
Summers
had
jerk.
Jean Grey and cheated on her with Emma Frost. Jean Grey.
Apparently, he also married Jean Grey's clone or something and had a family with her, and then when Jean came back from the dead, he left his family to go be back with Jean.
Because that's Scott Summers for you. Scott Summers is a jerk.
Yeah, that is a dick nut move.
He's almost as horrible a father as Chewie in the holiday special. Almost. Almost. I agree with this one so much.
Frodo Baggins.
Specifically the film, yes. Frodo Baggins.
Yes, as played
because
by...
anyone who's that much of a jerk to Sam, I will hate.
He's just really whiny. I understand that he's got a huge burden, but oh my god, I just wanted to punch him in the face so many times. Sam has the same burden, and Sam manages to be all like, you know, whatever, let's go do this, blah, blah, blah. And meanwhile, Frodo ends up...
Yeah, I get it. The ring was a burden.
Yeah.
But, dude.
Yeah.
Dude! Sam is the only reason you're not dead a dozen times over.
Mm-hmm.
So, be nice.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Carter Burke in Aliens. I'll let you take this
I don't know if anyone can defend this guy. He's just the epitome of the smarmy corporate suit that cares nothing about the people and will say anything in order to get his way. The only redeeming quality he has is that he gets what's coming to him.
We can all cheer
yeah.
for that.
Yeah, you know, he gets Ripley to go along by specifically saying, we're not going to try to bring these aliens back and study them. And what does he do?
Brings them back
and tries to bring them back and study them. Yeah, he's just the worst. I mean, there are... you could probably also argue about... what's the android's name from the first movie? Ash?
I think so, yes.
But I kind of it's kind of hard to hate him because he's a robot.
Yeah.
You know, it's like he's just doing what he's told to do. Whereas Carter Burke is just so smarmy and awful, and Paul Reiser did such
now,
a
there,
good job.
There are lines where you can have the smarmy a-hole and they're great.
Yeah.
Like Ghostbusters. Walter Peck. I love hating Walter Peck.
Right.
And it's partly because he's getting ribbed so much by these great comedic presences and Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah.
But, Walter Peck is the kind of smarmy jerk that's great to have in a film.
Mm-hmm.
Carter Burke, not so much.
No.
I'm going to have to let you take the next one because I've never seen this film.
What?
I've never seen Gladiator.
Oh my god, Brian.
What?
Okay. So, Commodus from Gladiator, played by Joaquin Phoenix, kills his father and tries to have sex with his sister. There you go.
Okay, well that's pretty awful and I hate him just for that.
Yeah, because his father is the emperor and is going to, what's his freaking name? Maximus. He's gonna give Maximus power instead of Commodus, because he knows that Commodus is a jerk, and Commodus, you know, freaks out and kills his father, and then becomes emperor, and, you know, Maximus gets put into the gets sold to the gladiators, and, Commodus is drunk with power and ends up trying to have sex with his sister.
That's terrible.
Yes, it is.
No,
he's
I
really awful.
I don't approve. And yeah. Let's just move on from that because that's awful.
Okay.
Willie Scott, you have on the list.
Yeah, it was actually a friend suggestion, but then she was like, "Oh, that's a good one," because we have to put someone from Indiana Jones on the list. And I know a lot of
The hard thing with Indiana Jones is so many. The characters are just so great.
Yeah. Actually, I'm going to cross Willie off the list.
You're going to cross Willie off
Willie's
the list.
Because Willie's just annoying.
I agree. I don't hate her. I'm just annoyed by her.
I'm going to add someone else to the list that no one can disagree with.
Mutt.
Yep.
And it's entirely the Shia LaBeouf factor.
No, it's just that he sucks. And, yeah.
Now, I will say my controversial Indiana Jones opinion is that Crystal Skull is better than Temple of Doom.
I know people who would agree with you, though.
Because Crystal Skull didn't have vaguely racist portrayals of indigenous people.
No,
okay, not vaguely, overtly.
But Crystal Skull had Mutt.
Temple of Doom had Short Round.
Short Round is funny, though.
He just goes, Dr. Jones, whole time.
He's funny, though. No Time for Love, Dr. Jones. That's funny. Come on. Okay, that's funny.
That is funny. Yeah. Mutt's mostly annoying.
Yeah, he is annoying.
Still better than Temple of Doom.
If you say so.
I do say so.
I would prefer not to watch either of them ever again, though.
So. Yes. and it's time for the holidays.
Yes.
I can't disagree with this one at all.
That secretary from Love Actually, I think her name is Mia. AKA the one that flirts with Alan Rickman's character the entire movie and basically just needs to put a big neon arrow towards her lady bits and say Merry Christmas.
Can I also say that I hate Alan Rickman's character?
Yes, you can.
Because Alan Rickman's character is a terrible, terrible human being,
yes.
Terrible husband, and terrible father.
It's his second time on this list.
Oh, Alan Rickman, no. Alan Rickman, no.
He's just doing a job.
He is. He plays for a great person you just hate.
Yeah. But she's just awful. She knows he's married, she knows he's got kids, and she's just like, come on, let's go have sex. Blah blah blah. Buy me a necklace, blah blah blah. Yeah, I don't like her.
Nope. And continuing with the holiday theme, Santa Claus. Santa Claus?
What? Santa Claus. Santa Claus from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Because Santa is a jerk and he's all like, Rudolph, you can't be on my team. You've got that. Put your nose away. Oh, that's awful. No, you should be ashamed of yourself, Donner. And then at the end, he's like, oh my god, Rudolph, you need to lead the sleigh or else we have no Christmas, no pressure. And then Rudolph, because he's awesome, says okay, when he should have said, screw you, Santa, you were mean to me.
I always forget how huge a jerk Santa was.
Well, kind of everyone in that movie is a jerk to Rudolph. Like, his dad's a jerk, the coach is a jerk, the elf leader guy is a jerk. But
Santa's the head jerk.
He's the head jerk. And he just won't listen to Mrs. Claus. She's trying to fatten him up, and he just refuses to eat. Because he's Santa. He knows everything.
Come on, Santa. Okay, so debate time.
Yes.
Debate time.
We never debate. It's kind of fun.
Yes. We have a couple characters that we couldn't come to consensus on.
Yes.
The first, we go back to Harry Potter, Umbridge.
I think I put her on my list of favorite villains, funnily enough. And she's just on your list of people you hate.
I hate her. I hate her because Umbridge is the amalgamation of every terrible educator I had. Every terrible educator that clearly did not like children. That had it out for you. And I hate her because she gives me education-related PTSD.
Yes, but she's so deliciously evil. It's great.
Yeah, you know who else was deliciously evil?
Who?
The assistant principal I had in middle school that gave me a detention for rolling my eyes.
But Umbridge isn't real.
Are you sure? Because I'm pretty sure I've had Umbridge during my education career.
Did they physically abuse you by having a phrase etched on your hand?
No.
Okay, then. Were they in service to the Dark Lord?
No, they were not. But I did have an assistant principal that said depression isn't real.
Oh, dear.
And Umbridge reminds me of that assistant principal.
Well, I mean, if you just wore pink and had pictures of kittens on your wall, you wouldn't be depressed either. Yeah, no.
I will concede that she had the greatest comeuppance ever.
She did. It was great. But no, I just think I was having a discussion today with the same friend about Snape, and I kind of figured out that I like very straightforward characters. Like, in heroes, I like complicated people, but like when it comes to villains, I love the straightforward evil people, like Umbridge or Palpatine. Like, they're just evil and they make no qualms for it. And I have to give props for that.
We're back to Star Wars with our second debate character.
Yeah.
I don't know how hard I'll debate this one, but I'm going to throw it out there. Darth Maul. He's a little Boba Fett-y in how fandom keeps dragging him back.
Yeah.
And it's starting to annoy me.
I can understand that the insistence on bringing him back, kind of like the whole Boba Fett thing. But in Phantom Menace, Darth Maul is pretty awesome. You have to admit that.
He is.
He's, you know, he serves his role very well. He stands in the background, he looks menacing, and he has a really, really awesome lightsaber fight.
Now, if he shows up in episode 7,
oh god,
then it's
no.
Yeah, then it's
yeah.
Yeah,
I think the problem with Darth Maul is not that they brought him back in Clone Wars. That's the problem with him.
Yeah.
You know, if they had just kept him,
you know, if they'd done the backstory before TPM and just left it there and left him dead, I would have liked him a lot more. But I see them just bringing him back into the Clone Wars, and it's like, oh, no, don't go Fett all over this.
Yeah. I will say, though, that he had the best moment in the Clone Wars.
When Palpatine throwing him around like a rag doll?
Sidious throwing him around. It was awesome.
That was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And we're back in Marvel for our last debate point. Emma Frost. You only know film Emma Frost.
I do, and I hate her guts.
That's because January Jones is a terrible actor.
I will concede that point.
Because she just... The range of Emma Frost's emotions, as done by January Jones, is blankly stare at the camera and blink twice, or blankly stare at the camera and blink four times. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the show. But she's so much better in the comics universe. I really should have brought Bria in to extol the virtues of Emma Frost for you.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd like her even in the comics, but...
See, the problem with the film Emma Frost is they literally could have gotten anyone better to play her.
Yeah.
They could have asked Sir Ian McKellen to put on a corset, and it would have been a dramatic improvement.
Is she kind of a sex kitten in the comics, too?
How so?
Like the way she is in the movie?
No, she's more cunning.
Okay.
In the comics.
Because that's another portrayal I don't like of characters. Kind of like, you know, they're all... Like, I don't mind if they're sexy, but it's like... That it just seemed like that was the only quality she had.
No, she's much more well defined and well written in the comics verse than she is in the film universe.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's all I'm gonna say. Emma Frost is awesome.
And from what I know of her, bleh.
Hey, we got some audience suggestions for
we
this
do.
List.
Yes. We have some more entries from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Dawn.
See, I like Dawn.
She's very annoying in the beginning. I will give them that. However, I think she grows up over time and kind of becomes an interesting character on her own.
I mean, and I don't have a problem with Dawn just because the greatest episode of Buffy could not have worked without Dawn.
Yeah.
The body just couldn't have worked.
No. Well, I mean, season 5 couldn't have worked, and that was my favorite season.
Yeah,
so.
And that's why I can't hate Dawn, because if you got a character like that, that is so critical to one of the finest seasons of the show,
yeah,
I can't argue.
Yeah.
Back to the Expanded Universe, someone suggests Qorenhorn, and you know what? I can see this.
If you stopped reading
after the first X-Wing book.
Yeah, Corin is definitely kind of a jerk, but he has a very distinct character arc.
And I can't hate him because he gets so humbled at Casa de la Sanquia.
Yes, he does. He gets humbled a lot, actually. And I know a lot of people dislike him in I, Jedi. They think, you know, Stackpole raises him up at the expense of Luke. But they forget that Luke kind of deserved it. Well, but Luke at the end, you know, ends up, Corrin ends up, you know, kind of apologizing, and they, you know, Corrin realizes.
You have to remember that I, Jedi, is written in first person.
Yeah.
So Corrin is not going to be the most objective narrator.
Yeah, and Corrin basically kind of owns up to that at the end of the book.
And Corrin's a character where you have to recognize the arcs.
Yeah.
You've got to go through the whole arc and see where he starts from and where he goes. Because, yes, he is an annoying jerk in Rogue Squadron.
Yeah. But I think he stays kind of a jerk, but it gets tempered. But that's just who he is, you know? I don't think it's bad and annoying as it goes on. It's just, he's kind of that guy.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, Corrin. What are you doing?
Oh, Corrin, you're being snarky
again. And Mirax, you know, can tell him what for and they go on
there.
You know,
I've got a question. So why can Mirax humble Corrin, but Mara isn't allowed to do that to Luke?
Because Corrin and Mirax are both expanded universe characters. And Luke is a movie character and Mara is an expanded universe character created by Timothy Zahn and not Luke Skywalker, and therefore she's not allowed to
Something's gone off the rail since she died, because Luke's turned into a pretty big jerk.
Aww.
No, addition to characters we hate, Legacy of the Force Onward era Luke.
No.
No. Another suggestion from the audience, Ben Skywalker.
I think it's safe to say we disagree with this one.
Yeah, I love Ben.
I don't love Ben.
It depends on who's writing.
Yeah,
him.
I love Alston's Ben.
I could have gone for a trilogy of just Luke and Ben adventures.
Yeah, and I would have loved to see Ben or Alston write Ben on his own.
Oh, a Ben standalone written by Aaron Alston. It would have been fantastic.
Yeah. And people have said, you know, Ben is always destined to be less than Luke, and he's never going to be as interesting and everything.
That sounds like a great book, though. Him coming to terms with that.
I think it is, because, you know, Ben is never going to live up to Luke. But that's what makes him interesting, is that he still wants to be a Jedi. He still wants to follow in his dad's footsteps, even though he knows he's not going to live up to that, and he's fine with it.
I want to see a book that chronicles how he internalizes that.
Yeah.
How he steps out of the shadow and becomes his own person.
Yeah. Because that's interesting.
And there's another book I wish we'd gotten but hadn't.
Right.
And now it probably never will.
Right. Well, I mean, it's like the whole... It's like Luke and Anakin, you know? People who see the prequels before the original trilogy, or people who grow up with Clone Wars, are going to have this figure of Anakin Skywalker, like, in their heads, and no one can ever be better than him. And then Luke Skywalker comes around, and they're like, well, who's this poser, you know? It's kind of like the same thing, but... You know, the relationship is not about Luke one-upping Anakin, and a relationship between Ben and Luke should not be about Ben one-upping him. It should be them being father and son.
Exactly. Boy, Fate of the Jedi could have been so much more. Damn it, Abeloth! and another one from the Reader Gallery, Anakin Solo.
I would substitute with this with Jason Solo.
Yeah.
I know people have said, you know, Anakin was very foolhardy and he was very rash. And
he was 14.
Yeah. He also ran off and got himself killed. But he was always my favorite of the three. And I was really sad when he died, because I was like, well... Way to go for killing your best, well-developed character.
And look where we are now.
Yep.
Kip Duran is another suggestion.
Do we even need to say anything more about this?
I can't argue this one too much.
He destroyed a solar system.
Hey, let's come back to another Mara Jade comparison. So why is it that Kip Duran can destroy a solar system but be redeemed, but Mara Jade... is an Emperor's hand and is clearly evil.
Because Kip was influenced by the dark side. He didn't choose to become evil, whereas
Mara wasn't.
Well, I mean, they just stole her from her family when she was like an infant or a toddler, and she grew up with the Emperor basically as her dad, and he taught her everything she knew. So of course she wasn't influenced by it to be bad, whatever.
So Kip Duran can destroy a star system or a planet, but Vistara Kai can't be redeemed.
Nope. That's not how it works anymore.
But Jason Solo can't be redeemed.
Nope, that's not how it works anymore. I will say that while I have major problems with Kip getting off scot-free, at least Kevin J. Anderson was kind of sticking to the source material of redemption.
Yes, because redemption is a thing in Star Wars.
Yeah. He might have gone a little too far to the other side.
I mean, I would have done something a little less severe than blowing up a planet.
Yeah. I think it would have probably worked a lot better if Kip had kept the characterization that he has in the short story Simple Tricks, in which he is basically punishing himself for Carda, and like nothing anyone could do to him would be as worse as what he's doing to himself. But then they decided to go F that and have him be a big jerk in the New Jedi Order.
So that's why Mike Stackpole wanted to kill him.
Yep.
And the final suggestion we got was Chang after season one of Community, and I can't disagree with this enough, because bring on the Ken Jeong. Bring him on and let him do whatever he wants.
I can't contribute to that.
We're going to have to watch Community, dear.
No.
And that is Cammy's Concerns this week, characters we hate. And with that, we got a little exit note for you. Be sure to listen to our sister podcast, Wrong Opinions About Movies. On their most recent episode, they reviewed the Dallas Buyers Club, and the band played on. I have no idea what they're doing next, though.
I don't know. I don't know.
They might be taking a break for Christmas.
Yeah.
But, yeah, go check out that episode. It's a good podcast. If you like film reviews, check it out. We've been on there a couple times. They've been on our show a couple times.
Mm-hmm. Allie joined us for the holiday special episode.
You know, I just had a thought. Do you think we could get KL out here to do a fandom year in review podcast? New Year's Eve.
Probably.
We're gonna have to spitball that one to her. Then we'll gather people up and play Cards Against Humanity. It'll be a blast.
Yeah.
Okay, that's going to do it for us this week. This episode of Tashi Station Radio has been brought to you in part by Her Universe and Audible.com. Check out the links to help keep the lights on. On Twitter, you can find us with the handles at Tashi_Station. It's the official show account. You can find Nancy with at Nancy Pants. That's Nancy with an I. You can find me with at Lane Winry, LaneWinree. On Facebook, we are the Tashi Station Network. We're available on the iTunes Store. If you like what you hear, please do subscribe and leave a review. You can find our columns and news at Tashi-Station.net. That's the official blog of the show. And we'll catch you all, next week. It's a pre-recorded episode, but we'll see you all again the week after to talk Star Wars and fandom in review for 2013.
Happy Christmas!
So long! This podcast has been brought to you by Majestic Giraffe Productions and is the official podcast of TashiStation.net. All Star Wars names, music, and logos are property of their respective trademark and copyright holders. Tashi Station Radio is not endorsed by Lucasfilm or any division of the company. Now go pick up some power converters.